Let's read together Esther chapter 3. In this chapter, we have the first mention of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. Here we learn of Haman's evil success in getting the king, King Xerxes, to issue a decree to annihilate the Jewish people. Esther chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" Now it happened when they spoke to him daily, and he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand. For Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman to determine the day and the month until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all the other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasuries." So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, "The money and the people are given to you, to do with them as seems good to you." Then the king's scribes were called on the 13th day of the first month, and a decree was written according to all that Haman commanded, to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, to the officials of all the people, to every province according to its script, and to every people in their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus it was written and sealed with the king's signet ring. And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. A copy of the document was to be issued as law in every province, being published for all people that they should be ready for that day. The couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Susa the capital. So the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa was perplexed. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. If the book of Esther was being acted out as a melodrama, it would be at this point, here in chapter 3, that the audience would hiss and boo because wicked Haman, the villain and enemy of the Jews, makes his entrance and takes center stage. We read in verse 1 that Haman was the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. This may be significant, because there are a couple of possibilities here. One possibility is that because there is some archaeological evidence indicating that one of the Persian provinces was named Agag, this may be why Haman was called the Agagite. The other possibility is that Haman was a descendant of the Amalekites, whose king was Agag. Remember, the Amalekites were one of the longtime enemies of the Jews. They trace back to the line of Esau. The Lord said in Exodus chapter 17, verse 16, that Israel would have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Because of this possible connection between Haman and the Amalekites is the traditional Jewish interpretation of the text, I tend to favor it. In any case, Haman was promoted to a position where everyone was to bow and pay homage to him when he passed through the king's gate. But Mordecai, who sat in the king's gate, would not bow to Haman. In spite of the fact that Haman was promoted to a high position, he was still only a man and not God. Respect, but not reverence, was Mordecai's position, and he would not bow the knee to Haman. This infuriated Haman. And when Haman learned that Mordecai was a Jew, he determined to get rid of all the Jews, a mass execution of the Jews. His diabolical plan became more than just a wicked and evil wish when he was able to get King Xerxes to issue an edict, allowing the Jews to be eliminated as a supposed threat to the empire. Xerxes was very willing to go along with the evil plan because it meant money for the national treasury. This national treasury had been depleted in his wars with the Greeks. Haman, of course, planned to get the money by plundering the Jews, as the end of verse 13 indicates. So if you're wondering where Haman was going to come up with all this money to pay into the king's treasury, it would be by plundering the Jews. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, anti-Semitism is satanic in origin. Anti-Semitism is satanic in origin. Here in the book of Esther, we see anti-Semitism in no uncertain terms. Anti-Semitism did not begin in modern times. Anti-Semitism goes all the way back to the bondage and slavery that the children of Israel experienced in Egypt, where they became a nation. Why? What's the bottom line of anti-Semitism? Answer, anti-Semitism is satanic in its origin. Satan knows that God's plans for the blessing of mankind are inseparably linked to the Jewish people. The Jewish people are God's chosen people and the people of the Messiah. Right from the beginning, Satan knew that the Redeemer for mankind and the one who would crush the serpent's head would be the seed of the woman. Genesis 3:15. Then with the coming of Abraham, Satan knew that the chosen one would be in the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Certainly the slavery in Egypt and Pharaoh's attempt to kill off all the male babies of the Hebrews in Exodus chapter 1 was a satanic attempt to erase the line of Abraham. When God revealed that the coming Messiah would be of the tribe of Judah and in the line of kings through David, again we see satanic strategy, attempting to do away with the line of the coming Messiah. At the time of wicked Queen Athaliah, she attempted to kill off all the Davidic line of potential kings, and this included the murder of her own grandsons. She almost succeeded, but God foiled her evil success by preserving little Joash alive, and he continued the Davidic line of kings. Read 2 Kings chapter 11, and 2 Chronicles chapter 23 in this connection. Now here at the time of Esther, we see another satanic attempt to do away with the Jews and with the line of the Messiah of the tribe of Judah. Haman is merely the willing tool of Satan. Remember, it was primarily Jews from the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and Levi that were scattered throughout the Persian Empire. They were the primary tribes that went into captivity, and they were the primary tribes that returned from captivity. Haman manipulated King Xerxes to issue this dreadful edict, which would include all Jews in the Persian Empire, and that would include the Jews from the tribe of Judah. The edict would eliminate Jews still residing in Babylon and Jews that had returned to Jerusalem and Judah. This was all part of the Persian Empire. We see in verse 15 that this edict for such an atrocity caused the people in Susa to be perplexed or confused. The average person does not understand the real reason and source of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is satanic in origin. Doctrinal point number two, anti-Semitism is a sign of the end times. Anti-Semitism is a sign of the end times. We believe that in Haman's hatred of the Jews and his plans to annihilate them, we have a prophetic picture of the anti-Semitism of the end times. Anti-Semitism was not erased with the fall of Hitler and the Nazis in World War II. Anti-Semitism is still around today. In fact, there is evidence that it is growing. We know that anti-Semitism will be present in the end times. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3 says that at the time of the end, at that time, all nations of the earth will be gathered against Jerusalem. And in the book of Revelation, we read about the anti-Semitism of the tribulation period of the last days. In Revelation chapter 12, we see Satan represented by the dragon persecuting the woman, that is Israel, who gave birth to the male child, that is Christ. And then in Revelation chapter 13, we see a notorious world leader known as the Roman Beast emerging on the scene. He is empowered by the dragon, that is the devil. His number is 666, and he persecutes the saints, including the godly remnant of Jewish believers, known as the 144,000. Haman is certainly a prototype of this evil anti-Semite of the last days. The increasing anti-Semitism of today is a prelude of what's to come tomorrow. Anti-Semitism is a sign of the end times. Now, what about practical application from Esther chapter 3? Remember, man may roll them, but God controls them. Remember, man may roll them, but God controls them. What's the term them here? What do people roll, but God controls? Answer, dice. Look at verse 7 once again. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman to determine the day and the month until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Haman was casting the lot, or Pur, which was the ancient way of rolling dice, in order to see what month to annihilate the Jews. Notice, by the way, that the time of this event was more than 4 years after Esther became queen, when you compare this verse with verse 16 of chapter 2. God controlled the outcome of the lot, so that the 12th month of Adar was chosen. This gave the Jews almost a year to prepare to defend themselves. Haman rolled the dice, but God controlled the results. Proverbs 16:33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." Even the way the numbers come up when dice are rolled is not by chance, but under God's control. Ephesians 1:11 says that God works all things after the counsel of his will. What's included in all things? All things include all things, including when anybody rolls dice. So whether it be your circumstances, or your future, or your physical and mental well-being, in view of what others may be doing to affect your life, like some Haman out there, don't worry. Trust in the Lord, because he controls everything, including the roll of the dice. Remember, man may roll them, but God controls them.